Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Libero Copper, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LBC and on the OTCQB under the symbol LBCMF. We are chatting with the CEO, Ian Harris. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, the company holds four projects, all focused on copper, two in the Golden Triangle, Big Red and Big Bulk, as well as the Makoa property down in Colombia and the Esperanza project in Argentina. We're going to start off with the Big Bulk project because earlier this week, January 4th, the company released five drill holes for a little over 1,700 meters. These were all drilled last year as part of one program. Some of the highlight grades, we're seeing 97 meters of 0.34% copper. We also have drill hole one that intersected a little over 37 meters of 0.42% copper equivalent. Ian, give us just a quick rundown on the overall strategy of this drill program and what these five holes are telling you about the potential there at Big Bulk.
So always a pleasure, guys, to talk on the show. And I think even based on previous conversations and kind of the overall strategy at Big Bulk at the beginning of the year was the project had previously been drilled by Teck. And we saw there were some interesting intersections in that historical drilling, but they weren't specifically targeting this, what we're calling a phase two mineralization. So we think there was multiple pulses that came through the system, and that this phase two was the richest grade that carried both the, you know, the copper, the silver, and the gold component. And there was a remapping done on the project that said, okay, they were basically skimming through this phase two, and it seems everything's been tilted on the side. So we said, okay, that's our theory, and it's worth at least testing that new hypothesis. So we're pretty excited, right? We put five holes, 2,000 meters into it to test that, and that when we hit this phase two mineralization, we came back with these very interesting hits. So it's, and now I actually have our own core and can update the model that was specifically developed for targeting this phase of mineralization. So when we see these types of grades and these types of intersections, it kind of gives a checkbox next to the project that says this is something that's legitimate. This is something that has the potential to become a robust project into the future.
Well, Ian, so basically you've had a new thesis on it that compared to previous people that have worked on it, and you've now proven that thesis was correct. Where do you go from here on the project?
I think that we spend our time taking in the data. A lot of it is updating the fault model, which was more complex than we initially estimated, because we were actually hoping for some longer intersections, which will allow us to begin planning additional drilling on the project, although it is not the highest priority project that we have at this time.
So from my understanding, the highest priority project that you guys have is the Makoa property in Colombia. We talked about some news that broke at the very beginning of December where the company received surface access and land use agreements for this Makoa project. What is the strategy this year then to get back on the ground at Makoa and grow what already is a fairly sizable resource?
Yeah, I think we went in the chit chat right before we went live. I think I explained, my personal excitement as I'm signing a year lease in Colombia on the 15th of this month, right? Because this is definitely, in my opinion, I mean, we have some interesting projects within our portfolio. Any one of them could be a company builder. But for me, that Makoa, it's the most advanced project. It's got the least exploration risk associated to it. I was just looking at a list. It's like the 23rd largest undeveloped copper resource in the planet. You know what's happening in the battery metals, and then for the transition of to sustainable energy, and it's just in its infancy. So. You know, I mean, if I had a megaphone, I'd be letting everybody know, and that's what I tried to do with some of these news releases, is letting you know we're doing the work. We've been hitting the ground. It's hard to explain all the work that was put into the strategy of ensuring that we had license to operate, because for me, that was the most important component. Projects of this size are not just one drill campaign, right? They're a continuous work, drilling and drilling and doing the engineering, doing the environmental. It's all these components that are just a project that you want to continuously be moving forward constantly. It's not something you want to start and stop. So all that background work was so important that we've done over the last year, and it's really come to fruition. The latest was that we're our land access agreements. There was multiple land holders. The majority of the deposit is actually on government land, but the access to the project and some of the project is on privately owned land. Those negotiations, I think it was like 15 different families, took a month. So I know that I've seen other projects where this process of negotiating access is an extra, everything could take 6 months to a year or never even happen. So I think it really demonstrates the license to operate that's been created, the environment that's been created in the local area. So the next step is get to work. So we are continuing to plan to begin exploration drilling on the project by the end of January or the beginning of February. So that's in a really exciting time for us. I don't normally like to ramble, but it's something that's it's difficult to always explain to market, right? That Makoa has an existing resource. It already has spectacular holes already in it, but it was drilled systematically. It's on an inferred level. We obviously have to upgrade the existing resource. Again, one of the world's largest resources that haven't been developed to date. And it still is completely room to grow in all directions and is only the first of the first anomaly really to be tested. And that this Jurassic porphyry belt is famous for creating these porphyry clusters. So all that work's going to be going on. But you know, a handful of the results, we already know what they're going to look like, and we already know what the valuations of companies that have similar results look like. So, and it's not where you know we have a thesis, right? We have a model. So it's basically we got our hand on the bird, right? We don't have to put two hands in the bush. We know what this project is going to look like, and we're very excited because we've done our homework. We've done the ground, the work on the ground. We've done the work on a national and local level, and things are moving forward. This juggernaut is now moving.
Well, Ian, let's dig in just a little bit more to Makoa because, for example, some of the drilling highlights in the past that caught my attention as a shareholder is, you know, the 0.75% copper over 634 meters or 0.65% copper equivalent over 779 meters. I mean, those are big, long intercepts and you've got, you know, a good resource there. Why don't you walk us through a little bit more about the resource size and how it stacks up to other projects?
Yeah, I think, you know, could you imagine if a company put out that exact same hole today, right? And so that's what the excitement about Makoa is all about, right? When you have intersections at those grades over very long continuous intersections, these are big systems. That was a lot of copper being pumped into here. And it's only basically the one soil anomaly that has been drilled to date. I previously worked at Corriente Resources for the Mirador project. 50 kilometers north is the Solaris project, Warintza, right? And Warintza is putting out those very similar types of grades. And today they're worth over $1 billion. So it can tell you, you know, what kind of path this individual project can put the company on. And it's only the beginning. Those every single one of the holes, it's open at depth. It was basically limited to the depth of drilling. We're working with a great contractor that has got tons of experience of using man-portable drills over up to 3,000 meters, so because they did it at the Quebradona project, also in Colombia. So it's not like all the stars are aligning. We're really excited, really excited about what's coming up in this year for the company.
So Ian, what about expanding on this already well-known and large resource? Where are some of the near-term targets? Where do you see maybe some of the low-hanging fruit in terms of adding ounces? Give us some more information on that front, please.
Yeah, so as a philosophy, we're basically looking at a 50% infill with 50% expansion and testing new targets, right? So everything's running in parallel. The project is basically open to the north, to the south, and to the east. And there's one untested or underly tested soils anomaly about 1 kilometer to the southeast of the existing deposit, right? So we already have a new target that's available to us. And the third thing is we're going to be working on a project-wide soil sampling program because that's the easiest way to identify new potential targets, right? Because this, even at Mocoa, mineralization went all the way to surface. There is a leach cap, but if there's any residual grade at surface, then you know there's a high percentage chance of having a porphyry directly underneath you. And that hasn't been done on an overall project scale. So we do believe that we'll be generating targets in parallel with the work that we'll be doing. And we're also currently working on our inversions interpretation of the existing magnetic geophysics work that we did at the end of last year. So we think all this will be coming together. We have plenty of work to do on the existing deposit. We have plenty of work to continue to look expansion opportunities while we're also be generating new targets.
What's the time frame for all of this then, Ian? What can we expect in terms of news flow just coming out of Mocoa as you progress through this exploration?
Well, I believe that it's just news that will be moving, right? So we expect to be putting out information when that drilling program begins. Luckily, we're not in the Golden Triangle. Labs have already given us feedback that 2 to 3 weeks is normal for assay results once they receive core. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, these are going to be some bigger holes, right? Some of our first holes could be 1,000 meters deep. So it'll take actually some time to actually get them drilled. But we look at end of February, March time period to be putting out the first results off the first holes. We got 13,500 meters planned, and that's continuous drilling. I want to explain that one of the things we're doing, we're starting with a contractor, but over the long period of time, we're looking at acquiring our own drills to maximize the benefit locally. And so we'll be training up our own crews, working with experts and training those crews and be building our own fleet. So when we start drilling, we don't expect to stop drilling, right? Our initial planning is getting up to 7 or 8 drills, continuously drilling on the project. And by the end of the year, we'll probably be on our second or third drill, but it's just going to be continuous. Once those first results come out, then it will just be a continuous flow of drilling. And then obviously there's a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of engineering, metallurgical, geotechnical, and environmental work that's going to be working in parallel.
Well, it sounds like an exciting year or years to come for Mocoa, and that there's going to be a lot of focus there. But let's shift over to one other key project for the company, and that is Esperanza in San Juan, Argentina. It's a porphyry copper gold system. Again, some nice big intercepts here. What caught my attention was the 387 meters of 0.78% copper equivalent. And it's in a system that's also very prolific in Argentina. So walk us through why you're excited about Esperanza.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting, the portfolio of projects we have, because normally when I finish conversations or I'm going over the portfolio of projects, everybody goes, wow, you definitely have a flagship project and this is the project. And normally the answer is different every time for different reasons, right? Lots of people like Big Red because it's in British Columbia. It's in a stable jurisdiction. It's a known location. It's where the majors are putting a lot of attention, et cetera. Mocoa, obviously, it's already existing large size resource. Something I failed to mention too. It's got 500 million pounds of moly in it. World production of moly is 600 million pounds to give you an idea of the size of this project. And now the news coming out that moly is becoming a very important battery metal is also extremely exciting. And then the other project is obviously Esperanza, because as you said, 300 meters at 0.75, and the first 200 over 200 meters at 1%. Huge gold component, so it'd be interesting to both, you know, major copper companies and to major gold companies, but it also has that potential to have some absolutely screamer holes that we've seen, because geologically it looks like a copy of Filo de Sol. It already has the grade that's been demonstrated, but obviously it's earlier stage, so it needs to be drilled. It needs to be that those theories have to be followed up. The vectors have to be developed with the as the drilling advances, but it obviously has the potential to be one of those absolutely amazing projects, but obviously earlier stage. And so for it matters, it's almost like the personality of the people looking at the different projects. Everyone likes things for different reasons. And obviously Esperanza has that huge potential of being, you know, a gangbuster style project, but earlier stage. So speaking of that, what we're working on in Argentina right now is reactivation of the existing license. So elections just happened in November, which was kind of feedback was until elections are over, everybody's in political mode. The second, you know, literally actually for the week after elections finished, we had our first meeting with the Minister of Mines. We're now onto our we had an additional follow-up meeting going more into depth. So getting aligned with the government, and we're still hoping, obviously working in permitting and administration in South America is always interesting, but we expect to be drilling by the end of the quarter.
All right. Fair enough, Ian. It can be very difficult to put distinct timelines on such things as permitting, but does sound like the ball is rolling and you are moving forward there. Let's also talk about funding out of the company, because late last year in December, the company announced a $5 million private placement. That was pretty quickly upsized to $8.3 million. You also brought in a strategic or a larger shareholder into the company. Can you please recap this deal and now what it takes the company to cash-wise in the bank?
Yeah, and so it actually started off at a $5 million financing, and it's now been upsized twice, and now it's up to 8.3. Many of my fellow CEOs and other companies are a little jealous asking how we pulled it off. But really, I think it speaks a lot about the team and the projects and the strategy we have in place of closing on this financing. So the big partner we brought in is a company called Anglo-Asian. I was previously CEO of a company called AMAC, which was the only operating private mining company in Saudi Arabia. Started to go off on too much of a story, but there we had it was a copper zinc mine, and I was commissioning a Merrill Crowe leach plant of the tailings to recover gold and silver. And we had a copper issue in our pregnant solution. And Anglo-Asian had one of the, I think it was only like a dozen at the time, SART plants, which is something that takes the copper out of the pregnant solution and gets the cyanide back into the system. So you're not only saving cyanide, but you're also getting the recoveries of your gold and silver. So we met Anglo-Asian. I visited them multiple times in Azerbaijan and was absolutely extremely impressed even in those days by the efficiency of their operations. Right here, they're not just built a mine in Azerbaijan, but it was a very well-run mine. And it wasn't because it had a bunch of bells and whistles and they overspent on it. It was like every dollar that they spent on that project made sense to me. The technical personnel that worked for the company were some of the best I've ever met in my life. And I continue to say actually one of the best metallurgists I've ever met in my life worked at the project. And so after that, you know, we kind of bumped back into them during some of the one-to-one conferences, and they had been following, Libero for a time. So when we announced our financing, they said, hey, we'd like to get involved. And for us, it was kind of like a perfect partnership, right? I'm a mining engineer, right? So I'm kind of the depth of the project development side, right? But the majority of the company obviously is focused on exploration. So, but on the Makoa project specifically, right? It's a project that's going to be moving down the line in terms of project development. So having a partner that has had the experience of taking projects all the way from discovery through construction and operation and having that knowledge and having access to those personnel for us is wonderful. And obviously having a partner to help with the financing as it comes down the road.
All right, Ian, thank you for this update. Well done raising those funds as well, because that really does take that hurdle away from you guys as you move forward with the exploration this year. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ian regarding anything going on at Libero Copper, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Shad and I are both shareholders of Libero Copper, so we will be following up as more news hits the market. Ian, thanks again for the update. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, sirs. Thank you for having me on. Always a pleasure to give an update.